So we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and those words at the end of verse 12. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I believe it was Melwin's favorite verse. It was certainly the verse that was spoken of by Peter Menny, the officiating pastor, in the house. And I thought, as we think of Melwin with gratitude before the Lord for the memory of him, that it would be good to think of this particular wonderful verse. Despite, I think, the fact that I misread Paul for Peter at the beginning, I don't see so well and I lose it sometimes. But anyway, it was Paul who wrote these words. And he writes them to a young preacher, a young Christian, a young pastor who he had begotten in the faith and of whom he was very fond. And how appropriate it is for an older man to say, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. A father should be able to say such a thing to his son. A mother to her daughter, that they might know the personal commitment. Now, this verse is all about personal commitment. I am not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Everything about it has to do with personal religion. Nothing formal about it. Absolutely personal, absolutely real, absolutely dear to the heart. I am not ashamed. And the reason, says Paul, that I preach the gospel, that I leave home, that I don't count the world as anything compared with Christ, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I'm not ashamed because I know it's the Lord Jesus Christ who has saved me and who has called me. And we are not ashamed because of what Christ has done in our hearts. Maybe if we were saved when we were younger, maybe when we first ventured out into the world, having put our faith in the Lord Jesus, we might have felt a tinge of shame in speaking for the first time ever of the Saviour and rejecting the thoughts and actions that had gone before. But we are not ashamed of Christ. And we are grateful to him. We would have gone on in the way that we'd begun, except that with compound interest it would have got worse. But the Saviour, in fulfilment of the message, the job given to him by the Father to save the elect, has lighted upon us in the Father's will and called us by his grace. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. It's shortened. You could have written, I know him whom I have believed. He is not speaking about knowing about God. Christ actually met with him on the Damascus Road. And ever since that time, as indeed it has been ever since the time he met with us, ever since that time, he has known the Saviour whom he believes. He's walked with him. Maybe he had visions of him. But we can say the same. We know him. I've often said to you, of course, that we get to know the Saviour when he comes to us personally to take away our sin. We get to know him for the first time when he pardons us and when he draws us to himself in great love. We may say that we know him. We don't need to know him better than any other Christian. We don't need to exclaim that others know him better than we do. We know him. Each in our situation, each in our place, each in our lifetime. And what a wonderful thing it is to know the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that he it is who has looked on such wretches as we are, lifted us up, died for us, and accomplished our salvation in bringing us back to the Father. I know whom I have believed, or I know him whom I have believed. Never destroy the trust of a child. If a person ever does that, the child will never know in future who it may trust and who it may not. Trust is a wonderful thing. And those who have grown up may be unwilling to put their trust because when they were children, they were dealt with in an untrustworthy way. So they don't quite know, should I put my trust here or should I not put my trust here? And this word, I have believed, means I have placed my trust. It is all about trust, not mental knowledge. I know whom I have trusted. I know him, and I trust him. And not only that, seeing that he is alive, seeing that he is at the right hand of God, seeing that all resurrection is vested in him, I trust him for that everlasting life of which he spoke. I trust him, and my days are drawing to a close. I trust him in the midst of daily cares. I trust him that he has appointed to me all the things through which I go. I know whom I have believed, and therefore feel no hesitation in throwing myself upon him. I know whom I have believed. And what have I thrown upon him? Well, there's only one you. There's only one Michael, is it? Is there anyone Winston? Is there anyone Marcus? Oh, of course there are other Marcuses, there are other Michaels and there are other Winstons. But our character is absolutely unique. What we have, what we are, what we're affectionate about, what we think is unique to us in its proportion. And Paul says, all that I am and all that I have, I trust into the care of the Lord Jesus. Long since, no doubt he had fulfilled the words that came to be written by Peter, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. I've committed my all. I've committed my only being. I've committed absolutely everything, not that concerns my property, but my innermost being, which takes everything else with it. I have committed it to the Lord Jesus. I'm not in any doubt. He who knows when the sparrow falls says that not a hair of my head will fall to the ground. I believe it. I know it. I know him. I know he will not fail. I know that he is more than ready to come to those who are in need. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. The word keep, as we use it in modern English, is perfectly fine, but it is a slight development from the meaning that it used to have. We get back to the meaning that it used to have when you think of a castle with its keep. There it kept its gunpowder. There it kept its gold. There it kept its food. And there it kept its prisoners. There was always a sentry there. It was a keep. It was guarded. It was surrounded. It was looked after. Now we talk about keeping things, but of course we can't keep in that sense. We may keep faith with another, but we can't keep everything, all the clutter that we manage to amass. But the Lord is able to keep. We might as well say, because the meaning is, that he's willing and able to keep that which we have committed unto him, our soul, our innermost being, to preserve us unto life eternal. All that was valuable about us, all our thoughts, in that day of death they cease from an earthly point of view. But they don't cease when it comes to singing, "Worthy is the Lamb in heaven," for example. I know and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are in very rough seas. And there are times when they know they are. Mind you, in the old days, the very rough seas were not the only problem. Getting becalmed was a major problem. You could run out of food while you were not moving. But whether it is that we waste our lives becalmed, or whether we sin them away, those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have nothing to hope for but destruction. Mostly they will tell you they're not afraid. But actually, the Father has wired it into human nature that whether they admit it or not, they are afraid. They have some misgivings. They will say to us, "Well, I don't believe there is a God." What a dreadful state to be in, not to believe there is a God, and there he confronts you on Judgment Day. They're in trouble. But we are not. We're in trouble as other men, that we get bodily illnesses, mental illnesses. But we are not in the sort of trouble of the destruction of our soul and casting of it into hell. We know whom we have believed, and am persuaded, we're persuaded that he is able to keep what we've committed to him. That is a tremendous act of trust. That is a wonderful and absolutely, you throw yourselves on the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is faith unbounded in response to his faith in us, unmerited. But to be able to know that what we've committed to him will be kept is a glorious, wonderful thing. but that it will be kept against that day. We've seen in the current season's football matches that they go on a lot longer and matches get won or lost in that last, those extra few minutes that should never have been. Never mind about that. But you see, the day when it matters is the day of the Lord's return and the day of judgment, which follows it. That the Lord has a judgment day. And in that day, all that we have committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, all he has done, all he has worked for our soul, will appear on our behalf. It would be dreadful to carry on through life until the last moment and lose at the end. That was the point I was seeking to illustrate. But we need have no fear of that. The Saviour will not let go at the end. The things that he will guard, that we've committed to him, will survive that day. He will have made them perfect. He will have given grace. He will have valued them and preserved them. So there is nothing that we need in that sense to fear. I am not ashamed, says Paul, of the gospel of Christ. The hymn says, ashamed of Jesus, soon afar, let evening blush to own a star. Jesus died in shame as men look upon shame, hung to public gaze upon the cross that was reserved for the lowest of criminals. And yet there, he wrought for us our salvation. He had no home to call his own, no doubt, lest he say, with Mary and Martha and others from time to time. But he had no place. He owned nothing. Save perhaps the garments he walked round in. We're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus. He was identified with the poorest, the most wretched, the least favored, those who had less than any. He was identified with them and with the rich in his death. But not many mighty, not many noble are called. And they are the ones who by and large cast believers into prison. But we are not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it was that shame, that counting it not robbery to be equal with God and coming to this world and being made in fashion of a man, came to the cross as low as that. We're not ashamed of that. Our whole being depends utterly upon that, upon his generosity in coming in that way, upon his faithfulness to the Father with whom he covenanted that he would do those things. These things on behalf of his people are certain. He's alive today. His power remains. He's not suddenly lost power like we may lose electricity. His power is everlasting. We want to think about it. We watch the movements of the planets. We look at the exact mathematical, precise arrangements that keep them on their courses. And that same exactitude is rendered towards each of us who lay our all upon him. I trust that none of us is ashamed of Christ. I trust that all of us know him. I trust that all of us have cast our whole being upon you. I trust that we will know that he will keep us. And in that great day, when millions of people will fall, even great men, because of their failure to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we will stand. This is a faith worth living and dying for. And when an aged believer such as Malwin dies, we weep with those that weep, we mourn with those that mourn, but we rejoice with those who do rejoice, not least himself, and not least as we look upon him, for death will happen to each one of us unless the Lord returns while we're still here. And we look and we see that though we commit the body to the grave, we commit his and our souls to our Maker. And our souls one day will be reunited with our reconstituted bodies. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thought. And thus, we shall live forever with no pain, no sorrow. Work probably, even as Adam and Eve, but not oppressive work. I don't know. Can't spell that out. I have not seen, neither have he heard, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now that's been a bit shorter. I felt only this morning after I came home from the funeral that I would do this. So I put it together quite quickly. But I pray that the Lord will have made his word a blessing to your souls tonight.